Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjali Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Sri Gaurabhakta Vrindaki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Gopa Gopita Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadup Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Jamuna Tulasi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki Jai, Samavetta Bhakta Vrindaki Jai, Gopa Pramanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru Sigurang, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnu Vadaya Krishna Prasaya Buddha Devi Srimadi Bhakta Vedanta Swami Nithi Namane Namaste Saraswata Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vastachane Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srimasiddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 51, Verse 1. Sri Suka Uvacha Tam Vilokya Venus Krantam Ujihana Vivodrupam Darshaniya Tamam Shamam Pita Koshaya Vasasam. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Sukadeva Goswami said, Tam, him, Vilokya, seeing Venus Krantam, coming out, Ujihanam, rising, Iva, as if, Udupam, the moon, Darshaniyatamam, most beautiful to behold, Shamam, dark blue, Pita, yellow, Kosheya, silk, Vasasam, whose garment. Translation, Sukadeva Goswami said, Kalayavana saw the Lord come out from Mathura like the rising moon. The Lord was most beautiful to behold with his dark blue complexion and yellow silk garment. Upon his chest he bore the mark of Srivatsa and the Kostuba gem adorned his neck. His forearms were sturdy and long. He displayed his ever-joyful, lotus-like face with eyes pink like lotuses, beautifully effulgent cheeks, pristine smile, and glittering, shark-shaped earrings. The barbarian thought, this person must indeed be Vasudeva, since he possesses the characteristics Narada mentioned. He is marked with Srivatsa, he has four arms, his eyes are like lotuses, he wears a garland of forest flowers, and he is extremely handsome. He cannot be anyone else. Since he goes on foot and unarmed, I will fight with him without weapons. Resolving thus, he ran after the Lord,
who turned his back and ran away. Kalayavana hoped to catch Lord Krishna, though great mystic yogis cannot attain him. Purport. Although Kalayavana was seeing Lord Krishna with his own eyes, he could not adequately appreciate the beautiful Lord. Thus, instead of worshipping Krishna, he attacked him. Similarly, it is not uncommon for modern men to attack Krishna in the name of philosophy, law and order, and even religion. Appearing virtually within reach of Kalayavana's hands, at every moment, Lord Hari led the king of the Yavanas far away to a mountain cave. While chasing the Lord, the Yavana cast insults at him, saying, "You took birth in the Yadu dynasty. It's not proper for you to run away." But still, Kalayavana could not reach Lord Krishna because the sinful reactions had not been cleansed away. Although insulted in this way, the Supreme Lord entered the mountain cave. Kalayavana also entered, and there he saw another man lying asleep. Purport, the Lord exhibits here his potency of renunciation. Determined to execute his plan and give his blessings to Muchukunda, the Lord ignored Kalayavana's insults and calmly proceeded with his program. So, after leading me such a long distance, now he's lying here like some saint. Thus, thinking the sleeping man to be Lord Krishna, the deluded fool kicked him with all of his strength. The man woke after a long sleep and slowly opened his eyes. Looking all about, he saw Kalayavana standing before him. The awakened man was angry and cast his glance at Kalayavana, whose body burst into flames. In a single moment, O King Parikshit, Kalayavana was burned to ashes. Purport, the man who incinerated Kalayavana with his glance was named Muchukunda. As he will explain to Lord Krishna, he had fought for a long time on behalf of the demigods, finally taking as his benediction the right to sleep undisturbed. Harivamsa explains that he secured the further benediction of being able to destroy anyone who disturbed his sleep. Acharya Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur quotes from Sri Harivamsa as follows: Prasuptam bodhaya yo mam tam da heyam aham sura chaksusha krodha diptena evam aha puna puna. Again and again, Muchukunda said, "O demigods, with eyes blazing with anger, may I incinerate anyone who awakens me from sleep." Srila Vishnu Chakravarti explains that Muchukunda made this rather morbid request to scare Lord Indra, who, Muchukunda thought, might otherwise wake him repeatedly to request him his help in fighting Indra's cosmic enemies. Indra's consent to Muchukunda's request is described in Vishnu Purana as follows: Proktascha devai samsuptam yastvam utapa yasyati deha jain agni na sadhya satu vajmikarishati. The demigods declared, "Whoever awakens you from sleep will suddenly be burned to ashes by a fire generated from his own body." So, in the last chapter, it was described how Krishna was making some arrangements so he could defeat Kalayavana and Jarasandha. So, first of all, he moved everyone to Dwarka, the citizens who weren't fighting, so that they were not in danger. And here we see that then Lord Krishna came out to fight with Kalayavana, but he didn't have any weapons. So it was a little bit different from fighting with Jarasandha, where Krishna and Balaram came out with weapons and killed all the soldiers. Kalayavana had some Kshatriya culture, and therefore he said, "I won't fight with weapons either. I will, since you're not with weapons, we'll be equals." But then Krishna ran away, which is very strange, because generally they should fight. And Krishna acted like a coward. And Kalayavana also was rather puzzled by this and also surprised. And he insulted him and said, "You're a Yadu, how can you run away like this?" Yet we see that Krishna did not mind this criticism of Kalayavana at all. He proceeded to this cave, and he entered the cave, and then Mochukunda was sleeping there, and when Kalayavana saw this sleeping figure, he thought it was Krishna, so he kicked him. And then Kalayavana woke up and opened his eyes, and he burned Kalayavana to ashes. So in this way, Mochukunda killed Kalayavana, not Krishna. So we see that this running away, Krishna ran away, and then he went to the cave. It's not the ordinary act of the Supreme Lord. It's a little bit different from the normal actions. So we'll never see Ramchandra running away from anyone. And Varaha doesn't run away from Hiranyaksha, and Nrsimhadeva doesn't run away from Hiranyakasipu. So of course Krishna also generally does not run away. We see in Vrindavan he killed many, many demons, from Putana to Keshi demon, etc., all throughout his stay in Vrindavan. And then he killed Kamsa and the wrestlers, etc. So Krishna obviously is not afraid of fighting, so he can act like a kshatriya when he so chooses. But here he chose to do something quite different, even though it could be criticized by some like Kalayavana and others who were saying that he shouldn't be cowardly, etc. So Krishna, though he acts like a kshatriya, or he acts like the Supreme Lord, or whatever, or he displays valor, he can also show opposite qualities if he wants to. And there's all a purpose behind this. Everything is done with a certain reason. So we see that Krishna has many opposite qualities, which is confusing for people. Because then the opposite means, obviously, that there's a contradiction there, and the good qualities will be balanced with bad qualities, so to speak, if they're opposite qualities. So, as I said, Krishna does display heroism, bravery, strength, etc., when he kills demons. Here, it looks the opposite, like he is weak, and he is running away from a demon in fear. Looks quite different. So this is opposite quality. But we'll see other places as well where Krishna shows opposite qualities. Though Krishna kills demons in Vrindavan, and he's not afraid to do so. In fact, he can do so very very easily. When he was a baby, he simply kicked up his foot and killed the Sakarasura demon. Very, very easily, despite touching the cart with his foot. Or he sucked out Putana's life here. Even though no one else could detect that this was Putana was a demon sent by Kamsa. So he has no fear as such. But then we see opposite. For instance, when he saw Mother Yasoda with a stick, he began running away in fear. So then, that's the opposite quality, showing fear of Mother Yasoda. Yeah. Or when he was jumped into the Kaliya's lake, and then he went up to Kaliya, and that showed his bravery. But then Kaliya coiled him up, and he was held captive by Kaliya for some time. And then everybody thought, Krishna's going to die. And it looked like Krishna was powerless. He was tied up completely in the coils of Kaliya. And he didn't do anything. But then, of course, after that, he defeated Kaliya. So he showed lack of power there with Kaliya. So in this way, sometimes it looks as if he acts in an opposite way. So here also, he seems to run away from battle. But everything has a purpose. So the Lord can display all sorts of qualities, some of which appear contradictory. So some of them are quite genuine. as in the case of Mother Yasoda threatening Krishna and Krishna having fear. So that's genuine. Actually, he is afraid because he's the son of Mother Yasoda, and he identifies himself completely with that. And when he sees the stick, then he is frightened. So it's not just a show for some purpose. Krishna has this particular identity. But in this case, it's a little bit different. Krishna has a plan, and he's running away for a certain reason. Why is he running away here? Because he wants to give some service to Mochukunda. And so Mochukunda gets to kill Kalayavana, and then Mochukunda gets to see Krishna and to develop his relationship with him. So in other words, Krishna is very merciful to his devotees. And so this act of so-called cowardice was a means to give mercy to Mochukunda, a devotee of the Supreme Lord, not for any other reason. Therefore, it was not real cowardice, but he chose to give mercy to the devotee in this way. So his attraction to his devotee was more powerful than his obligation to follow Kshatriya codes in battle and not run away. So sometimes he may break the rules if it involves his devotees. He will do so. And we see similarly in the with Bhishma in the battle. Krishna was not supposed to take up weapons, but then he took up the wheel of the chariot because of how he wanted to protect Arjuna, etc. The Lord may sometimes do things which seem a little bit contrary, but they may be in the service of his devotees. And therefore, what is apparent rule or dharma or promise, etc., gets broken because of the obligation or his a great attraction to his devotees. In all cases, it is not, there's no duplicity involved at all. It is all because of attraction to devotees. In the case of Mother Yasoda, of course, he is dedicated as her son, and therefore he's obligated to do whatever she says. This, all of this will, you could say, from an outside point of view, may be a criticism of the Lord, and we will think, the Lord is not so powerful after all, because he's obligated to Mother Yasoda, or to Arjuna, or to Mochukunda, etc. And when he does that, then he breaks other rules. However, we should understand that his attraction to his devotees and dependence on devotees and being controlled by his devotees is not a bad quality at all. It's rather a good quality. So the Lord is independent by his very definition, but he is dependent on his devotees. So it looks contradictory, and it looks maybe like a bad quality, because if he is independent, that defines the Lord. If he is dependent, that means he's not the Supreme Lord. But his dependence on the devotee is another quality of the Supreme Lord. So of the two qualities, dependence on the devotees and being controlled by his devotees is a greater quality than independence. In other words, his attraction to his devotees, that quality of sweetness is greater than the quality of being God and being all-powerful. And this is actually natural. If we think of God as the all-independent person who controls everybody and doesn't feel affection for anyone, then what kind of God is that? No. So he has to have some attraction for the devotees. And so the attraction is so much that it appears he gives up his independence. Still, people will say, well, again, contradiction is there. So there is also an attempt to solve that contradiction. So the explanation is this, that Krishna is attracted to his devotees. Why? Because of their bhakti. But what is their bhakti? Their bhakti actually also is ultimately Hladini and Samvit Shakti. And what is Hladini and Samvit Shakti? It's actually internal energy of the Lord. It's Sarup Shakti. It's Chit Shakti, Antaranga Shakti. Which manifests in the Jiva, in Bhava and Prema. So that bhakti which is in the Jiva, which Krishna is attracted to, is actually from Krishna. It's part of Krishna, his Sarup Shakti. Non-different from himself. Like Radha is Ladini Shakti, non-different from Krishna. So Krishna's Sarup Shakti, his Ladini Samvit Shaktis are all non-different from him. And it manifests in the devotee. So if Krishna is attracted to the bhakti in the devotee, he's actually attracted to his own Shakti in the devotee. So there he's controlled by himself. Because the Shakti in the devotee is actually part of himself. So he's controlled by himself. So therefore, he's not controlled by anybody else. He's still independent because of that. It's just manifested in another person, that's all. But it's actually part of Krishna. So this way, he remains independent. He is still Supreme Lord. But through his Sarup Shakti and Bhakti, etc., he manifests his bliss. So being controlled by his devotee is an aspect of his bliss, and it creates bliss for the devotees as well. So this is a very attractive feature of the Lord. So some people are attracted to power of the Lord. That's the, we can say, the initial teaching. So when we first learn about God or Krishna, then we say, oh, he's all-powerful. He's the creator of the universe. He creates the law of karma. He's in control of everything beyond birth and death, etc. So we give him a position of power. That's as far as many religions go. They think of God as an all-powerful entity. But Bhagavan actually means that he is very, very attracted to his devotees. Bhagavan means full of all wonderful qualities in which he has pastimes with his devotees. So this is a different aspect of the Lord. So we divide those aspects up, and we call these aspects of creating the material world, etc., as paramatma features of the Lord. And those which are involved sweetness with the devotees, these are Bhagavan aspects of the Lord. Same Lord, but he functions in different ways. So we can say that most people conceive of God as the paramatma feature, the one who's all-powerful, creator of the material world, witnessing everything in the material world, controlling the law of karma, etc. That's all paramatma feature. Same Lord, Vishnu, is in Vaikuntha, but there he has relationships with his devotees, and there he is Bhagavan. So it's the same Lord, but functioning differently. So in the spiritual world, all of these different forms of the Lord, not only Krishna, but the Vishnu forms and Nishama and Rama, etc., all display some sort of affection for the devotee. So there is some kind of sweetness there. But it is also mixed with the Aishvarya aspect that he's still God. He is all-powerful. He is the independent one. The reverence is still there. When we get to Krishna in Vrindavan, then that reverence is completely lost and there's no concept of Krishna as God at all, and only the sweetness aspect is there. And that sweetness aspect becomes very, very strong. And therefore, Krishna is liable to do activities that he does not do anywhere else because of this great sweetness with the devotee. So one of the outstanding qualities of Krishna that distinguishes from the other forms of Bhagavan is he has sweet pastimes. Yeah. The other one is he has sweet devotees, all types of sweet devotees. Some are acting as his parents, some as his friends, some as his lovers, some as his servants. But all with a great sweetness. And together what happens? Pastimes occur between Krishna and those devotees. And they are filled with that sweetness. So, with Krishna, in Vrindavan particularly, we get the most remarkable pastimes occurring because of that, such as the Damodar pastime, or lifting Govardhan Hill, or the Kali serpent pastime, etc. All these different pastimes are there in display, in display of Krishna with his devotees. When he moved to Mathura, as he is here, and in Dwarka, still has that sweet form, but we see that his description here is a little different. When he came out of the fort of Mathura, then he had forearms. Still beautiful. He had his Kastoba jewel, Shivatsa, forearms, like that. So a little bit different in appearance. Sometimes he shows two arms, sometimes he shows four arms in Mathura and Dwarka. So appearance is slightly different, but he's the same age, etc., and has a similar beauty. But the Yadus, they see him as Supreme Lord also. So it's a slight dilution. Still, this form is considered superior to the other forms of the Lord, because of the Madhurya Rupa of Krishna is still there. There is some eclipse of the sweetness because of the Aishwarya aspect. Still, there is some sweetness there. So therefore, Krishna in Mathura and Dwarka also acts in such a way to please his devotees. And we see many instances where he falls under the control of his devotees in different ways. And he acts on their behalf. So here's one instance where he acts on behalf of Mochukunda to give him mercy. And he ignores the Kshatriya codes or whatever, and even though people may criticize, and even Kaliyavana criticized, he didn't mind. In many ways, in Mathura and Dwarka, also Krishna shows great affection for his devotees.
I mentioned that the Lord gets attracted to his devotees, three devotees. Is it because the Lord is attracted to his devotees, devotees get attracted by that attractiveness? And why some devotees get more attracted and some devotees get less attracted, though the Lord is very attractive?
Well, yes, Krishna's quality of being so compassionate and merciful and affectionate to his devotees is a cause of attraction of the devotees. So therefore, the pastimes where Krishna displays these qualities, those pastimes become attractive to the devotees because they learn more about the greatness of Krishna and that he is so responsive to his devotees. So that is why we read Bhagavatam, to understand and appreciate these different qualities in Krishna manifests these different pastimes. If a person is not attracted, of course, then that means he is covered over. If he has some attraction, I mean he has some devotion. So according to the amount of covering and the amount of devotion, there will have people with different amounts of attraction. So those who are practicing bhakti, generally the coverings are less, so they will be attracted to these pastimes. Others will not be. We see here Kaliyavana saw the Lord, but he was not really attracted to him at all. He just wanted to kill him. So he saw him, what a beautiful person. He must be Vishnu because Narada Muni's described him like that. So I'll try to kill him. Not really attracted to him at all. So he doesn't really see the spiritual beauty of Krishna at all. It's because he's covered over with Maya.
Honestly, see, in the material world, normally those are inferior, they control the super, and those who are superior, they control the inferior. But those who are superior, normally those who have some power, you know, they control the those who are weak, you know. But in the case of Krishna, you see that, you know, although this Mother Yashoda, all the gopis, they are not the, they are the, we can say they are jivas, devotees, but they control the lot. It's like extraordinary. Extraordinary,
yeah.
Is completely opposite of the natural.
Yeah. So that is the aspect of sweetness of the Supreme Lord as opposed to his powerful nature. Of course, Krishna, even though he's sweet in Vrindavan, never loses his power. So therefore, very easily he kills all these demons. So they're not really opposite. If you have sweetness, therefore you cannot have power. If you have power, you don't have sweetness. Krishna has both. So the Lord can display them whenever he chooses, and he does so in certain circumstances. But generally, in Vrindavan, he eclipses those powers because the sweetness aspect actually is predominant in Krishna. So he to some degree, he hides those powers.
The question was, we see the Muchukunda burned this Kalabana by his anger, but later Muchukunda repent for that, and how it happened.
What's that?
Muchukunda repent, they burned Kalayavana by the anger, anger, you know. But Muchukunda later repent for that. How can I did like these activities? Because he, although he's killing a demon, but but he repent for this. But Krishna said, it's my own plan that he's supposed to be killed by you. But here is, we see that, you know, the question is that, so bringing Kalayavana just near to Muchukunda, is it the plan of the Lord, we say?
Well, we can say it's similar to Arjuna fighting the battle of Kurukshetra, and he didn't want to fight because he'd have to kill his relatives, etc. But then Krishna said, this is my plan, and you can act as an instrument for my plan ultimately. At first he didn't want to do so, but then he acted because that was the will of Krishna, and then he had killed all these people, whatever like that.
Has all the plan, what is going to happen, what will happen, everything.
Yeah, well, the jiva always has a choice of what he wants to do, we can say. In this case, it's a little bit different because it was the choice of Muchukunda to burn anyone to ashes who woke him up. So that he did. Krishna simply fulfilled that benediction. He saw Kalayavana and he burned him up. That was his desire.
He desired this boon because again this Indra will call him for the fighting. Chose this boon.
That was the main reason. But Krishna used that as an excuse to meet with Muchukunda and give him blessings so he could see his beautiful form and also at the same time kill Kalayavana. Then all he would have to deal with is Jarasandha after that.